Welcome back. I'm Mary Starrett, filling in for Mark Dankoff on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark is going to be a featured speaker at the No More Wars for Israel conference this coming weekend in Los Angeles. He's going to be broadcasting live from Los Angeles at his usual time segment, 7 to 9 a.m. Central, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, and 5 to 7 Pacific. And he's going to be talking about the Zionist role in genocide, a variety of other things. Definitely well worth listening. I'm also going to be back filling in next Tuesday, the 16th. But I wanted to just tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing in the next hour. For those of you who have been paying attention to Second Amendment issues, there is great concern about a bill called House Resolution 2640. It's the McCarthy-Schumer. There's that, whenever you see Chuck Schumer's name associated with anything, you know we're in big trouble. But basically, it adds just more onerous, draconian, Orwellian, I don't know what else we can call it, but strangleholds on the Second Amendment. I'd like to talk a little bit about it with a gentleman who has been at the forefront of no compromise Second Amendment rights. For those of you who have perhaps thought the NRA was your friend or were lifelong members of the NRA, I got to tell you, if you've looked at some of the things they have done lately, it is really questionable whose side they're on. In fact, there's no doubt in my mind the NRA is certainly not on the side of those of us who believe in the right to keep and bear arms uninfringed by the government. Larry Pratt, the executive director of Gun Owners of America, joins us, and so happy to have you here with us, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. Good to be with you. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, I don't know if folks are up to speed on this H.R. 2640 or the McCarthy-Schumer gun bill, but I tell you, I read this thing and I got chills down my spine, literally. Give us the short version.
Well, the short version is that a whole bunch more people are going to have their names added to the Brady instant check list, meaning they can't buy a gun, and they won't have committed a crime, and they won't have been accused or convicted in any court of law, but they're going to have their name put there anyway for a variety of reasons, which we will certainly, I hope, get into. And that's the long and the short of it. Due process is being set aside. People's names are going to be put into this database without any kind of court order, and the Attorney General under the bill, if it were to become law, would be determining which lists of names are relevant to go in. Relevant is the key fuzzy word in the bill, and there have already been some 110,000 veterans whose names have been put into the database because at some point, they were diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and this PTSD diagnosis has zapped mostly probably Vietnam veterans, almost 110,000 of them, who, if it comes to the authorities' attention that they have a gun, they're breaking federal law, and they're in trouble.
So you're saying that Americans who went to war for this country, albeit ridiculous unconstitutional conflicts, but we send young men to war, and when they come back, we strip them of their Second Amendment rights because they are understandably stressed by what they saw in a battlefield situation.
It comes to under the definition or under the rubric of no good deed goes unpunished. Thank you very much, wham.
Yeah.
We're not going to trust you anymore.
All righty, we're going to take a short break. Our guest this hour is Larry Pratt, the executive director of Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise, or one of the only no-compromise gun lobbies in the country. If you want to check out their website, it's gunowners.org. Get very acquainted with these people because they are fighting the battles on the front line. I'm Mary Starrett, filling in for Mark Dankoff here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Welcome back. I'm Mary Sterrett, filling in for Mark Dankoff this morning on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Our guest this morning is Larry Pratt, the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, their website, gunowners.org. And I have to say, over the years that I have known of the work of Larry Pratt and Gun Owners of America, I have been so grateful for this organization to counter the efforts of other gun groups, large groups, I believe, like the NRA, who are doing everything they can to diminish and to mitigate the Second Amendment. They are not gun owners' friends, and fortunately, we've got Gun Owners of America who are battling against that. Case in point is a bill called the McCarthy-Schumer Gun Control Bill. It's H.R. 2640. And it basically would compile the largest megalith of personal information, information from medical records, the medical records themselves, anybody who had been to a counselor who had come back from war and been considered, stressed out by their experiences, understandably, would be barred from owning a gun. Larry, how has the NRA joined forces with the gun grabbers to promote this McCarthy-Schumer bill?
Well, McCarthy herself has had this bill in the Congress, in the House, House of Representatives, for a number of years, and this thing was just sitting there, not going anywhere. the Virginia Tech massacre occurred, and still there wasn't any real uproar about gun control because the media has learned, because mostly the Democrats learned, that they lost the Congress because of gun control, pushing gun control back in 1994. I can't say that the Republicans necessarily learned anything from that. You would think they would want to have snap quizzes every so often just to keep the Democrats on the defensive, but that hasn't been that way, and the issue has just kind of sat there going nowhere. We're not making any progress. We weren't losing a whole lot, administratively maybe, but anyway, all of a sudden the NRA decided to team up with McCarthy and Representative John Dingell of Detroit in pulling off a vote on this thing. It had been understood that it was going to be a certain time, but all of a sudden, a week early, at 8 o'clock in the morning, the vote is announced for 10 o'clock that morning. It's held. There's no recorded vote. There's no debate, and it's out of the House of Representatives on its way to the Senate. Now, Senator Schumer tried to do the same thing in the Senate and has so far been thwarted in that by Senator Tom Coburn, a physician, actually, from Oklahoma. But the NRA became convinced that I think their main problem, other than having for a long time supported gun control over the years, because they've viewed themselves as a handmaiden of the government and not an adversarial relationship needed to preserve freedom, even as the Bill of Rights are in our Constitution for the same purpose. And so the NRA decided that this is more this is an extension of the Brady Law, the instant background check, which they wrote, and so they were blind to the enormous increase in elimination of due process that's inherent in this bill, and it's really staggering the principles that of destruction of due process that are pumped up by this kind of legislation. If this thing passes, it's going to be a problem to a lot more people than just those who keep and bear arms. Even those who hate guns are going to feel the sting of the principles in criminal law that are doing away with what has been the hallmark of American justice that we inherited from England, the idea that you're innocent until proven guilty, the burden of proof being on the government, and the due process protections that you have if you're going to be accused of something that would cost you your liberty or your exercise of liberty, such as being able to buy a gun, that you have to go through a court, a trial. You have to have the right to face your accusers. You have the right to have an attorney. You have all of these measures, which are extremely important. This is not to say that they haven't been eaten away by a lot of what judges have done in their courtrooms over the years, but it's still sure a long way ahead of what would happen to you if you were accused of a crime in some foreign country, France, Germany, you name it, let alone Saudi Arabia or some other place, where you are guilty until proven innocent. That's not the case in America, and it's a huge advantage that is taken away from the government, and it's being tossed away in the case of gun owners. And what's specifically involved is a redefinition, an allowing of a morphing of the definition, if you will, of two key concepts, what it means to be adjudicated and what it means to be adjudicated as mentally defective. In the 1968 Gun Control Act, which should never have passed, there were a number of reasons why people couldn't buy a gun established in federal law. One of them was that if you've been convicted of being, or if you've been adjudicated mentally defective, you can't own a gun. Now, that meant that you actually had committed some kind of violent felony. And there were six or seven that referred to, rape, assault, something like that. That meant that you But if you had been convicted, you had been found guilty, but you had found mentally incompetent, if you had been insane, so you had a jury verdict of not guilty by reason of mental insanity, something like that, by reason of insanity. Well, I think that's an insane notion, but nevertheless, that was the limit of the law, that you had been in court, you had had all the rights of a defendant, and then they came up with this goofy notion that you were not guilty, even though you'd actually done it. Everybody knew you'd done it, but by reason of insanity, you were not guilty. Okay, that's where we were in 1968. Now we're talking about mentally defective, being stretched to include the unrebutted opinion of a psychiatrist who says you might be a danger to yourself or to somebody else, and that opinion of the psychiatrist in this enormously expanded definition of mentally incompetent, that unsupported or unrebutted accusation, opinion of the psychiatrist becomes the adjudication. Now, what seems to have escaped the NRA and other supporters of this bill is this is a step on the same road that was traversed by the Nazis and by the Soviets, where they had so prostituted the medical profession that they were being used to send people to the concentration camps and the gulags on a medical diagnosis. That seems to me to be a horrendous way for American law to be going and for the NRA to be supporting such a policy outcome is just staggering in its impact. Now, there's another aspect of this. When the Attorney General gets a hold of this bill and it becomes law, the Attorney General will be able to determine what lists of names are relevant for the purposes of the law. There's at least $1 billion in other versions that they've been fiddling with on the law have gone up to as high as $5 billion. But suffice it to say, a fair amount of money is going to be available for chasing down all these names. All of these names will be acquired on order by the Attorney General from states or wherever they might be kept, or the Veterans Administration, and they'll be dumped into the database and pawed over by federal bureaucrats, all without a court order. So you got somebody like Charles Schumer, who's hollering about the dangers of the government monitoring a phone call of a suspected terrorist, Abdul in Yemen, for example. That's a concern to Charles Schumer. But there's no problem putting every American's medical records or educational records or whatever else is deemed relevant into a database. So it kind of tells you who the great enemy is in the eyes of Schumer, of the American government. And it's look in the mirror, because that's who the enemy is.
So I mean, this is just absolutely chilling. If a psychiatrist or a psychologist deems, and certainly that profession is not known for being proponents of the Second Amendment, let's face it.
And also, they have the highest percentage of that profession committing suicide of any group in the population. So we're going to have a dysfunctional group making adjudications on who is or who is not a danger to self and others.
this really is talk about the inmates running the asylum. That's what we're looking at here.
Yes.
And then, so in other words, if you have, and virtually, Larry, every human being that has lived and breathed on God's earth has had problems where they feel hopeless, where there's despair, where there's depression, where there's anger, unresolved issues with the human condition.
Well, think about it. Would a psychiatrist, in view of what you're saying, be willing to certify, when she'd been alive, that a Mother Teresa couldn't have been, at some point, might have been a danger to herself or to somebody else?
Because she questioned the deity, I know, which everyone does when they're in the depths of despair. All right. Our guest is Larry Pratt. He's the executive director of Gun Owners of America. And we're going to come back and talk about this McCarthy-Schumer bill, which is really quite frightening. If you want to give us a call, our number is 800-313-9443. I'm Mary Starrett. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back. I'm Mary Starrett. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm filling in for Mark Dankoff, who is on his way to Los Angeles for the No More Wars for Israel conference. He'll be broadcasting live from Los Angeles on Friday from the conference at his usual time segment of 7 to 9 a.m. Central, 8 to 8 a.m. Eastern, and 5 to 7 Pacific. Our guest this morning for the last half hour of our program, Larry Pratt, Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. You can check out their website at gunowners.org. We're talking about a chilling resolution before Congress, House Resolution 2640. And it is, in essence, of course, we've got McCarthy and Schumer behind this gun control bill, in essence, putting more and more of a stranglehold on the rights of gun owners. Larry, we were talking about what would happen if a psychologist or a psychiatrist were to deem somebody a danger to himself or others, and that could be for simply a visit or a counseling session. Any one of us could be considered a danger simply by somebody else to say so, and that alone would be enough to make it so that somebody's Second Amendment rights would vanish?
Those are the terms of the bill. And so it's not just a veteran who has had a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. And by the way, that doesn't mean if you've been diagnosed that way that you're going to be any threat whatsoever. But that's been enough all the same to put nearly 110,000 guys and maybe some gals into that database banning their firearms rights. These guys have been around with this diagnosis, some as long as back to Vietnam, so we're talking virtually 40 years. They've had careers, they've had families, and I've been in touch with some who have been continuing to see a Veterans Administration counselor from some point after they got back from Vietnam, and they have concealed carry permits, meaning these are the guys, and maybe some gals, but I've only been in touch with guys that have been vetted by the government. They have been found to have committed no crime, and so they are allowed to have a concealed carry permit for a concealed firearm. And yet, if this bill passes, the way this thing is written, that definition of post-traumatic stress disorder would be enough to zap their gun rights. And I can just see one of the relevant lists that the Attorney General would demand, and that would be the list of concealed carry permittees. Have that list bounced against the Veterans Administration and other health records, so that here's a guy that's had a diagnosis that we don't like, and he's got a concealed carry permit. Get him. And that is an entirely foreseeable outcome if this measure becomes law. There's really a hatred of gun owners. That's why Charlie Schumer is supporting the bill. He is looking for ways to get rid of gun ownership. There's a fellow that's not too far from the Northern Virginia location of Gun Owners of America who is a retired Marine. I think he made it to rank of, colonel. And he was in Vietnam. He was a helicopter pilot. He got some Purple Hearts. And I think he got them rather differently from the way that John Kerry seems to have. And he was a State Department flunky, and he had gone over to the Hill on some business and was in a meeting where he was talking with a staffer of then Representative Charles Schumer, and the staffer, just quite candidly, I guess assuming since everybody that worked at the State Department must be a Marxist, that it was okay to talk openly to the guy. And so he told this colonel that, the senator's really, the representative's really interested in making sure that no American ultimately is able to own a gun. We'll just be a lot better country if we can achieve that. And so, now, that's not something I actually had to hear from this colonel. That's something that I was able to impute from what now Senator, then Representative Schumer has been doing throughout his whole career, which is embracing every single gun control law that comes down the pike. And so here he is working on this bill. Now, in defense of the NRA, they say that when it left the House, they got a concession from these wonderful people, Representative McCarthy and others, and that is that if you're one of these veterans that have had your name dumped into the database, you'll be able to get your name out, you'll be able to try. Have a nice day. You'll be able to try for what the lawyers call an expungement, meaning erased from the record, and thus able to buy a gun again. And the way you would do it would be to get a lawyer, and you'd probably have to get a psychiatrist, or two or three, spend a lot of money, $5,000-$10,000, and get a court order that you're okay, that you're not guilty, you've proved yourself innocent. Very expensive, very unlikely to happen. And then when you get that order, then you've still got to convince whoever's going to administer this thing, the FBI or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, you've got to get them to expunge your record. Lots of luck. When it was possible in the past to try, hardly anybody ever got it done.
All right, good point. Our guest, Larry Pratt, Executive Director, Gun Owners of America. Check out their website, gunowners.org. When we come back, we're going to find out what you can do to block this bill. Take a short break. I'm Mary Starrett. You're listening to the Republican Republic, oh no, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back. I'm Mary Starrett. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm filling in for Mark Dankoff, who is on his way to be a featured speaker at the No More Wars for Israel conference coming up this weekend in Los Angeles. He's going to be broadcasting live from Los Angeles, not only on Friday during his regular time slot, but on Monday he'll be doing a post-conference wrap-up from Southern California. So you're going to want to pay attention to that. That's going to be a great program. If you're interested in calling in, our number is 1-800-313-9443. Our guest for the last half hour of our program is Larry Pratt, the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. Their website is gunowners.org. And you can find out about a bill there, which is H.R. 2640. It's the McCarthy-Schumer gun control bill. And we're talking about just how draconian it is and how even non-gun owners would be affected by this. Larry, tell us what we can do about this and what the steps are that we can take locally and on a state-to-state level.
The Congress does respond to public pressure if they get enough of it, and we saw that in the recent amnesty fight. And we've seen it ourselves when we've been able to generate enough public opposition or support to a measure. And we've got an email operation on that website that you've been nice enough to mention, gunowners.org. If you go there, the top of the page has an email that deals with this situation and what you can do about it. There's mainly, namely, there's an email that we've written that you can send off to the Senate, and few clicks and certainly less than 2 minutes, you've taken care of business and you've registered some more public opposition to the measure. Now, the status of the bill, and I'd mentioned briefly in the previous half hour, Senator Coburn has set up some obstacles to this using the rules of the Senate. By the way, rules, I might add, that the Republicans wanted to do away with when they had the majority in the Senate, thinking that, this will facilitate getting Bush's judicial nominees confirmed. And since we're going to have the majority in the Senate for the foreseeable future, no problem doing away with the filibuster rules and these other rules that protect minorities. Well, obviously, they don't still have a majority the Senate. And we are so glad that even though we were kind of like the skunk at the garden party among conservatives for opposing what they were trying to do, and we were working with some people that, frankly, I would rather not have worked with, who probably thought that the Republicans also were going to have control of the Senate forever, and they wanted to keep control, or they wanted to keep the minority rules, the protection rules in place because of that, and now they're probably kicking themselves in the pants that they worked with the likes of Gun Owners of America to preserve those rules. But those rules are still in place, and Senator Coburn, by himself, has been able to bring the passage of this bill to a halt. Now, what we're trying to do to reinforce his effort and to kind of ensure a greater likelihood that what he's done is going to prevail is get a handful of other senators to come alongside of him and join with him. And that's the purpose of the email that I had mentioned that people would find if they go to gunowners.org. That'll be explained. And the targeting that we've made of three or four members of the United States Senate who really ought to be standing with Tom Coburn. The interesting thing is that what he's done is, among many other things, has told the Senate that if you finally overcome the obstacles that I've thrown in your way, you're still going to have to vote on a series of amendments. And, of course, that's what's got him really puckered. Because the amendments would gut the bill. They would take out from the ban list all these veterans that have been put in there, even though they didn't get convicted of any crime. It would be another amendment would make it so that nobody could have their name put into the database unless they had been convicted of a crime of violence. And things like that, that would actually, if the amendments were approved, make the current law better, let alone the bill, make the current law better than it is. Now, we don't think there should be any of this stuff, but at least it would be, as Sarah Brady likes to say, it would be a good first step. Well, every time she'd get a piece of gun control legislation passed, that was something that she was fond of saying. Well, she said it so many times, I kind of got to like the expression. It's a good first step. And that's what Senator Coburn has in front of the other members of the Senate. Or, in other words, you want to pass this gun control bill? Good. But first, you're going to have to vote on measures that if you vote against me, you're going to be seen correctly as anti-veteran. Have a nice day.
Mm. Well, that's okay. Well, there's that, which is a help. That's kind of good, especially in our current climate. That's not a good idea.
Nope, I think he's got it figured out right, and we're just delighted that there's at least one guy in the United States Senate that is not there to win a popularity contest with his colleagues, and that's why he is so enormously popular in his state. He had been in the House of Representatives, and I don't happen to agree with term limits, but he had limited himself to three terms, and he kept his word. Boy, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in the House of Representatives, he had figured out ways to almost use the filibuster rules of the Senate, even though they don't exist in the House, because he was, even when he was in the House of Representatives, the pork killer. He was after this out of control spending that both Republicans and Democrats have indulged themselves in. And when he retired, he went back to delivering babies, which is what he really wants to do in life. And he was quite happy to be away from those people that he had had to work with in the Congress. Well, a Senate seat came open in the state, and Coburn wasn't interested. But then when he saw who was standing for the office, and these were all more of the same type guys, belatedly, he got into the Senate race, and conventional wisdom would have said, you were in too late, and where's the money that you need to run a race like that? Well, he was able to raise a respectable amount of money, not from the establishment, which hates his guts, mm-hmm. but from grassroots types. And the fact is, the people of Oklahoma somehow got the message, this is a guy you can trust. This is a guy who, when he says something, unless he breaks a leg, he's going to do it. And they elected him to the United States Senate, and you could almost hear the groaning from Capitol Hill when his victory was announced. We're going to have to put up with this guy again. And so he's been up there trying to shoot as many pigs porking as he can. And happily, he's taken a little time away from his hog killing to defend the rights of gun owners. And we just couldn't be more grateful to this man of integrity who has really stood in the gap at a time when we were desperate to have some help. And you know, I got to point out something else. We were trying to work with some other senators because we knew that Coburn has a very busy agenda, and while he certainly votes with us, we hadn't really expected that he would take such a leadership role in a gun battle. And things just weren't working out for one reason or another. We couldn't get the other senators to lock in on this problem. And I remember telling some of the guys here in the office, why aren't the Marxists moving on us? Why aren't they moving this bill? Because we don't have anybody standing in the gap yet. And, well, it turns out that just like Gideon was able to attack the Midianites, and they, even though he had only, what was it, 300 people against a huge army of maybe 100,000 or something like that, they were so confused by the Lord that they ended up whacking themselves and running off the ones that survived and leaving the field of battle. Well, it turns out something similar happened on this bill. Senator Leahy and Senator Kennedy were having a very down-and-out fight on something that Leahy had put into the bill that Kennedy didn't like, and that was what was holding the bill up while we were trying to organize a two-car funeral. And we finally got it, our act together, and we realized what had been holding them off. And well, that'll kind of keep us from thinking too much of ourselves, because it clearly was something that happened that we liked that we had no control over.
You know, there not enough can be said for the grassroots activism that you mention, and that really is your rallying cry at Gun Owners of America, and how simple you make it for those of us who are kind of flummoxed by all of these House resolutions and how to get a hold of it. We get intimidated, thinking we know we can't dare to enter the holy courtyard of Congress, and really they work for us. We forget that. But you make it so simple. You know, go to gunowners.org and click on an email alert that or some way that you can contact your elected representative and tell them how you feel about things. Because as you mentioned, Larry, it's the exact type of grassroots activism that quashed the latest immigration debacle. And that's going to happen with gun owners. And I have to say, gun owners are far and away the most committed, most politically active, because they realize what we have to lose.
They have actual physical ownership of emblems of the right to keep and bear arms. They own guns. And I think that means that what you say, what you just said, is spot on. It's tangible, easy to understand, and while all gun owners don't necessarily have a sharp political understanding, how would they if all they hear is information from the NRA or the Washington Post or something like that? But nevertheless, there's a whole bunch that have it figured out, understand that this is a freedom issue, and that when the NRA says that, well, the veterans that have their names already in the database, even though there was no legal basis for it from Congress, it's now, quote, settled law. Well, you know, when I first heard that, I thought, what a bunch of hooey. And I went to the Declaration of Independence because I kind of remembered what the founders had to say, and they didn't call bad things that government was doing settled law. In fact, I found the word I was looking for. They called a long train of abuses usurpation, and that was why they said, we're not going to let you continue this long train of abuses. You've got to stop. Now, they appealed to the Crown with reason. They had remonstrances for a few years, and certainly 1774, 1775, the Congress passed resolutions that represented the whole of the colonies, and they passed another one in 1776, but that one was after the Brits had already started shooting at us because they didn't like the fact that Concord had all those guns stored away. They were actually making them and storing them there in Concord, and so they came to confiscate guns, and they had a little speed bump on the way, and they lost a whole lot of men that day because they had gone too far in their usurpation, not their enforcement of settled law. Please.
That's a really good point to remember. We tend to get very, you know, we acquiesce and we become intimidated because somebody tells us this has got to be. But we know that it just takes a few people to scream and yell, and you can effect great change, because I like to remind people only 13% of the colonists were on board for a revolution. The rest of the people had pretty much figured out that, oh, well, we've got the largest empire in the world, we've got huge armies and navies, and we couldn't possibly go up against them. Well, thank God for those who knew that they had right on their side, they had providence on their side. And we need to not be daunted by the masses, by the media, by the moneyed establishment in government, and think that, you know, hey, wait a second, we've got to remember who put these people in office, who can take these people out of office if they don't do what their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution demands that they do.
You know, I'm glad you made that point, because this is something that when you take a step back the way you just did, you get to see the bigger picture. And one of the things that we've largely lost in our understanding of politics is that the people, we ourselves, are the sovereign. I think that would be a correct notion anywhere in the world, but it's constitutional in the United States. The Constitution starts out, we the people, then goes on to talk about, do hereby establish and ordain this government. And the sovereign, historically, has been known as someone who possesses the emblems of power, guns. The king had guns. And for a brief period in the American colonial experience, the parliament itself had guns. But the sovereign was able to enforce his will, if need be, by force, because he had guns. And here we have in the United States this notion of sovereign immunity. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I are immune from something. It means that the people in government have made themselves immune from accountability, from being sued. And so no matter how stupid or egregious something is done by somebody in government, and unless there's a narrow exception or two or three where a law has been passed to give us permission, condescension of the government, we can't sue them. We can't hold them accountable. And that's especially important when we're talking about bureaucrats, because they never stand for election. And so we have actually seen a coup d'etat take place in our country right in front of our eyes, and it was so slow, it was such a slow walk that we didn't notice what was happening. But years ago, these laws were passed declaring that the feds and the states and all the levels of government have sovereign immunity. Well, you know what? If we ever reestablish constitutional government in this country, that's one of the things that's going to have to go. Now, that means that there'll be a lot of people that won't want to work in government. Darn.
Oh, shucks. and there goes about a third of the country's workforce, huh?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of jobs that apparently Americans don't want that all of a sudden Americans are going to want.
Yeah, and it's going to be amazing to see when that happens. You know, you always figure that the government gains so much power by seeing how many people are either employed by the government and therefore dependent on them, or on the dole by the government. Hey, Larry, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we're really grateful for your work. And I would encourage people to get acquainted with this McCarthy-Schumer bill and its House Resolution 2640 by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners of America, keep up the good work, and God bless.
Mary, you too. Thanks so much.
All righty. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Mary Starrett, filling in for Mark Dang.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic Priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back. I'm Mary Starrett. You are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I'm filling in for Mark Dankoff, who is in Los Angeles. He is going to be a featured speaker at the No More Wars for Israel conference. As a matter of fact, on Friday, he is going to be broadcasting live from the conference during his usual time segment, 7 to 9 a.m. Central, 8 to 10 Eastern, and 5 to 7 Pacific. And he's going to be talking about a variety of issues associated with the No More Wars for Israel conference. He's also going to be doing a live broadcast Los Angeles on Monday the 15th, kind of a post-conference wrap-up from Southern California. So you're going to want to join in certainly on Friday and on Monday. Tomorrow on the program, I'm going to be talking to Jim Condit, Jr. Those of you who have been familiar with the black box voting issue, the electronic voting scheme, which has been it's been trumped up to steal our votes and to convolute and to make sure we don't have honest elections, we'll want to listen to that. Because Jim Condit, Jr. has been looking at the issue of what happens to those votes that are being cast and calculated by electronic voting. We're going to talk about a lawsuit, a clean elections lawsuit, which is against 10 states right now. The effort is on to get plaintiffs to get those lawsuits against all 50 states. And that is because virtually every single county in the country and every state is been co-opted by this scheme to basically steal the vote. As you know, the saying goes, Stalin has said, he who casts the vote decides nothing, he who counts the vote decides everything. When you press a touch screen, does your vote actually count for what you voted, or is this gone into cyberspace and can it be hacked? Yes. There have been computer scientists at Princeton and Stanford, a variety of other prestigious universities that have proven unequivocally that the electronic voting, that the mechanism, that the software is all definitely corruptible, is able to be corruptible. There is no paper trail. And the Supreme Court has twice voted or twice ruled that voting is electronic voting is unconstitutional. When you don't have a paper trail, when you don't have any checks and balances on that chain of command, the chain of custody, where are those votes going? Are people able to watch the votes being counted? Is there a way to ascertain that who you voted for is actually who they calculate you voted for? We've seen this over and over again, that our voting system as is corrupted and corruptible. We need to get this fixed before 2008, because let's face it, the two big box parties, which have morphed into one party, don't like the fact that there's a threat out there by the name of Ron Paul, or perhaps by the Constitution Party candidate, if Ron Paul doesn't get the nomination. It is because we've got globalists in charge, and they've got everything to lose should the American people wake up and vote for somebody they want to vote for. So let's get on track with that, and that's who we'll talk to tomorrow, Jim Condit. In the meantime, check out constitutionparty.com, sign up for our email alerts, and find out what the Constitution Party is doing, growing by leaps and bounds. I'm Mary Sterrett, filling in for Mark Dankoff. We'll see you tomorrow, same time.
With recent